What did I tell you? I told you I was gonna beat them, I was gonna stack them, and I was gonna pin them. See that right there? That's fire. That is a fire promo from the head of the table, Roman Reigns. And I am the head of the table here at Charismatic Creations. It's Saturday. You know what that means. Welcome to the High Risk Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Pierce. Welcome. WrestleMania is over. WrestleMania is over. And we're moving forward. Or at least I think that's what we're trying to do. But yeah, WrestleMania's done. And last week we had our WrestleMania preview show. This week, our story of the day is we'll be taking a look at some of the worst WrestleMania main events in the last, I guess, since WrestleMania 18. We've had WrestleMania 37, so let's go half. So let's go from WrestleMania 18 up until now. Some of the worst WrestleMania main events. Why they sucked. Or not even why they sucked, it's just that there were matches that were better on the card that should have been the main event. But for now, hit my music. All right, so we're starting off with 2K games. Now, if you've seen during WrestleMania week, we got a quick little preview of, it wasn't even a big preview, of WWE 2K22. It looked good. The graphics looked amazing. And my interest has been piqued. Now, there wasn't a 2K game for 21 for this year. It's because 2K20 was absolutely atrocious. And 2K Games has come out and said that they wanted to be more transparent about the process this time around. There's no release date right now, but they're clearly working on it. We can expect some information, you know, at some point soon. And the game probably to drop around, they usually drop around October or September. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Next up, the E, they filed a trademark for No Mercy. And if you know No Mercy, for two reasons. One, still one of the greatest, if not the greatest, wrestling game of all time. And two, it's a classic WWE pay-per-view. The last one happened in 2017. That's when Roman Reigns and John Cena fought, with Roman Reigns winning. So we'll see what happens. I guess they want to keep this name. This could be a pay-per-view they bring back. This could end up being a NXT special. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Tom Phillips is no longer on the commentary team. He didn't even call WrestleMania. And he is now the host of 205 Live and will be working on other projects. He is the senior manager of On Air Talent, so we'll see what goes on with Tom. We kind of thought it might have been something to do with COVID, but he'd be all right. Now, we have Alexa Bliss. As you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Little Miss Bliss. It's not her, it's her fans. They are simps, and they are absolutely horrible and disgusting people. But as it's her booking strategy, as she's kind of the female Bray Wyatt at this point, and you can't have her just completely steamroll opponents. Her last match was against Nikki Cross, and Nikki Cross hasn't been seen since. We'll see. We will see what happens with with Alexa Bliss, and what's next for her. The E, they acknowledged ECW Barely Legal, a classic ECW pay-per-view. it's ECW's first ever pay-per-view taking place 24 years ago. I was 7, and it took place at the ECW Arena here in Philadelphia. Now, you know me. I'm Philly, born and bred. We know ECW, all right? And there were legends up and down that car. Actually, you know what? Before I even continue, let's look at that card. Let's look at the card. All right. So we had a quote unquote dark matches. We had Louis Spicoli versus Boz Mahoney. We had Chris Ketty and JT Smith defeated the full blooded Italians, Little Guido and Tommy Rich. Our main card, the Eliminators. John Cronus and Perry Saturn defeated the Dudleys, who had Joel Gertner and Sign Gein Dudley with them. RVD versus Lance Storm. We had the Great Sasuke, Gran Hamada, and Masato Yakasugi defeated the BWO Japan, Taka Michinoku, Terry Boy, and Dick Togo. The franchise, Shane Douglas with Francine, defeated Pitbull number 2. Taz defeated Sabu. Terry Funk defeated the Sandman and Stevie Richards to become the number one contender for the ECW World Heavyweight Championship. And in our main event, Terry Funk defeated Raven. Now, the issue is that WWE acknowledges this historical event, and they have this video, right? And they're showing just the many, many just great people that are on the card. They don't show Taz or Sabu, two of the mainstays of ECW and one of the biggest matches on that card. And Taz is right to criticize WWE for rewriting history. They do this a lot. You can't mention ECW without mentioning Taz and Sabu. Vince going to Vince. So fuck him. And some kind of sad news. Ivelisse is gone from AEW. She hasn't been at recent tapings, and they were told, Taylor were told not to expect her to return. Apparently, she has some disagreements with agents backstage. Obviously, there's always two sides to the story. She tweets out that history repeats itself again, and she speaks up about mistreatment and gets let go. That's life. Now, Diamante is by herself, and Diamante and Ivelisse were a really good tag team. They were the first ever tag team, not champions, but tournament winners. Ivelisse also claims that Thunder Rosa is the reason she's going. Thunder Rosa was slandering her name. These two have some history going back to their time in Lucha Underground. So we'll see what's next for Ivelisse. She is a solid hand and a great worker anywhere she goes. Now, this was the first week where NXT and AEW were not in direct competition with each other, and both shows saw a rise in viewership. NXT pulled in 805,000 viewers. That is very, very good. Last week's NXT saw 654,000 viewers. So that's very respectable. Dynamite, on the other hand, Wednesday night drew 1.2 million viewers. Yeah. The week before, they pulled in 688,000. Yes, we like to say that competition is good, but 1.2 million viewers is nothing to sneeze at. This is good. We have wrestling on every day of the week. And I know I don't cover Impact that much, and I might try to start doing a little bit more, but Monday Raw, Tuesday NXT, Wednesday Dynamite, Thursday Impact, Friday SmackDown, and then occasionally we could get a Saturday pay-per-view and a Sunday pay-per-view. It's crazy, right? The British Parliament, United Kingdom, they will be discussing what to do about pro wrestling in the future of it during this pandemic. We'll see what happens. This is going to be big. This is going to be big, so we'll keep you all posted on that. Mauro Ranallo will be calling Impact's main event at Rebellion. That is the Impact World Champion Rich Swann versus the AEW World Champion Kenny Omega, with the winner leaving with both championships. Mauro's not calling it a full pay-per-view, but I like this for them and for him. He can come in, call this one match, make it great, and go on and do his thing. Mauro's a great voice, and he will help elevate this match. In some shocking news, we actually almost got the Young Bucks versus the New Day, and it didn't happen because of Vince. And I'm almost sure the Young Bucks wouldn't have cared about losing. I'm going to leave it at that. And lastly, as you know, I cover this in what just happened. The WWE releases this week. Once again, those names are Samoa Joe, Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, Mickey James, Chelsea Green, Tucker, Kalisto, Bo Dallas, Mojo Rawley, and Wesley Blake. So a part of the reason was that they say they're released because of budget cuts. And yet the WWE for the second year in a row is going to have one of their most profitable years. Budget cuts. Budget cuts. Not only are they going to claim budget cuts, they lied to some of these guys saying that they wouldn't be released and then still released them. Vince going to Vince. Renee Paquette blast the company for saying, how do you drop the ball on Samoa Joe? Injuries aside, how do you drop the ball on Samoa Joe? Correct. How do you fucking drop the ball on Samoa Joe? It's Samoa Joe. And some not so shocking news, because we know what kind of scumbag this man is. Kevin Dunn kept Billy Kay down with WWE. Now, mind you, this is the guy that's supposed to be producing the shows with, you know, how it looks and comes across on TV. So why does he have a say in talent? Word on the street is that he just didn't get Billy Kay and saw a ceiling for her in the company. You can't see a ceiling for somebody, because now what you're doing is you're creating a ceiling for someone. So he didn't get Billy Kay. Vince didn't get Billy Kay. Yes, she was garnering fans. A lot of fans. Like, that doesn't make any sense. We all know Kevin Dunn's a scumbag. So, you know, fuck Kevin Dunn. He's trash. I'm sorry, yo. I'm just a big fan of Billy Kay. We'll be right back. All right. We back. Let's just start it off with weekend reviews. Shows. Monday Night Raw. New beginnings, right? So, Monday Night Raw actually has a new announced team of Corey Graves, brought over from SmackDown, Byron Saxton, and Adnan Vink. You will know Vink from calling from the MLB Network. He's new. This is kind of his first foray into pro wrestling, so he needs time to grow. Did Raw open up with talking? Yes and no. And usually, let me define this. Usually when I say that a show opened up with talking, I mean, does a wrestler come down to the ring, stand in the ring, and cut a promo for 10 to 15 minutes? So no, it didn't. The show actually opened up with a quick kind of exchange between Riddle and Lashley, with Riddle challenging Lashley. So that's twice this year Raw really hasn't opened up with talking. I'm really happy about that. It's been 15 shows, but okay. Lashley then goes on to defeat Riddle in kind of dominating fashion. Riddle looked still a good Riddle because Riddle's a good wrestler, but Lashley wins, and as he should. And it's ironic that the very next match after that was Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander losing to a returning Viking Raiders. And you see how far Shelton and Cedric have fallen since being taken out of the Hurt Business. Lashley came out and said previous week, that it really hurt his heart with the Hurt Business breaking up. There was no reason to break up the Hurt Business. None. I'm never going to let that die. There was no reason to break up the Hurt Business. And now Shelton and Cedric are out here jobbing. Charlotte came out and cut her usual bullshit, I'm the best, I'm the queen promo. She's a full heel now, which is good, because there's no such thing as a face Charlotte Flair. She then interfered in the Oscar Rhea Ripley WrestleMania rematch. Whatever. We'll see where this goes. This is Charlotte once again being pushed into someone else's storyline. And she kind of said that in her promo, so I get it. But how long until Rhea Ripley loses the belt to Charlotte? A month? 2 months? Alexa Bliss has a doll of her own named Lily. And Alexa Bliss is now essentially the new Bray Wyatt. Because Bray's back to being Bray of the Firefly Funhouse. But now Alexa, we need to see where they go with this. She hasn't wrestled in God knows how long. She really didn't wrestle Randy. So we'll see. Miz TV segment with Miz, Maurice, Morrison. And this just led to them beating Damian Priest. So how's that Bad Bunny rub working out for Damian Priest? He gets a big win at WrestleMania and then loses in a handicap match to two guys that have been presented as losers. Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke purposely lost their match as Nia was the butt of the joke with slipping and falling from, you know, Mandy slipped and fell at WrestleMania. They jumped Nia backstage, and Mandy and Dana just walked out of the match because Nia got really, really angry. So, and Drew McIntyre won his triple threat match against Braun and Randy to face Lashley at Backlash. I'm not going to call it WrestleMania Backlash. It's a dumb fucking name. As you can see, I kind of just breezed through Raw because Raw is just Raw. It's consistently the worst show of the week out of the five wrestling shows. It's consistently the worst show. I don't know what to tell you. Raw is just not good. I'm giving Raw a C-, and that's being generous. Over on NXT, we opened up with Karrion Kross cutting a very Karrion Kross boring promo. I don't care about Karrion Kross. On to the next one. MSK retained their tag team championships against Killian Dane and Drake Maverick. And guess what, y'all? I said it last week. MSK aren't connecting with the audience. That's a problem. And I'm going to tell you why they're not connecting. Because they're being produced too much. What should be happening is we should be getting the Rascals. We should be getting what we got in Impact. But no, we got Wes Carter and Nash Lee. I'm sorry, Wes Lee and Nash Carter. Those are dumb fucking names. After the match, Imperium beat up Killian Dane and Drake Maverick, and Imperium is here to stay. Mercedes Martinez wants her money. She told Robert Stone, "I want my bread." Jessica Mejia stops her from really putting foot to Robert Stone, so at least a match between them two. Jesse looks good. Mercedes is just better. Mercedes gets her money. She gets the win. And she says she's coming for Raquel Gonzalez. I'm here for it. Raquel still needs work. She's gotten better, but Mercedes is a 20-year veteran who can help her put on great matches. Santos Escobar had an open challenge for the Cruiserweight Championship. And usually when we have these open challenges, the champion never wins. Especially when it's like the night after Mania or pay-per-view. So who answered the challenge? That would be Kushida, who lost at TakeOver, but won this match and is now the Cruiserweight Champion. So, the biggest win of his career wasn't even advertised, but it's okay. This is good for both guys, as Kushida can now be the face of that division. And Santos Escobar, who helped carry the division for a year, even though you never say it's good if somebody lost, he is a main eventer. He doesn't need to be Cruiserweight Champion anymore. He's a guy who can slowly build up, and he can climb up the card. So at some point when Johnny Gargano loses the North American Championship, that'll be a face, and whoever that face is will lose the belt to Escobar. Escobar will win that and give it 2 years. Santos Escobar will be NXT champion. Believe that. Raquel Gonzalez had her celebration with her friend Dakota Kai. And Taya Valkyrie, now known as Frankie Monet, came out and pretty much was like, look, all right, you won. I don't care. I'm the best in this division. I'm coming for you. I'm La Hueloca. Now, mind you, Io Shirai is still in this division. So is Toni Storm. But that's okay. And then Saray is debuting next week. The rich get richer. Best division in all of women's wrestling, NXT. Off the top of my head, just hooked. First of all. Let's finish this segment. Raquel's like, all right, bring it. And Frankie's like, you're going to see a lot of me. Then we had surprise appearances by Rhea and Bianca. And they just kind of shared a touching moment as NXT stalwarts are now women's champions. Which is a nice little fun segment. But with this, first of all, Saraya's going to do well in NXT because Io, Kairi, Asuka, and now Saraya. So we got Io, Saraya. I don't know what they're going to do with Tony, but for now, Tony, Ember, Shotzi, Candice, Frankie, Dakota, Tegan when she comes back. This division is stacked. Zaya, Casey, Kaden. The NXT women's division is just a thing of beauty, man. Roderick Strong quit. He turned in his papers to Regal. He was there with his wife, Marina. And we'll see what they do with the ride. Because I don't think you can honestly put Kyle back in a tag team with Bobby Fish. What are they going to do with Bobby Fish? It's weird. I want to see where all four members of the UE go. Swerve and Ruff had another match. Swerve won. Ruff attacked him afterwards in the back, and we're doing this again. These guys, this storyline is just, this is just good stuff. You know what I mean? This is good squishy. And I'm all for it. These two could actually fight forever. They have really great chemistry with each other. And in our main event, we had an 8-man mixed tag team match as Bronson Reed and Dexter Lumis teamed up with the NXT Women's Tag Team Champions Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart, and they defeated The Way. This was just fun. This was just a fun quality matchup. I mean, there's comedy. There was good action. We got whatever is going on between Indy and Dexter Lumis as Indy finds Dexter hot. She kept trying to get him to kiss her. And they just walk out of the match with Dexter holding her in his arms. And she gives the camera the wink of the nod. I like Indy. She's fine. But that's NXT. I skipped over, you know, I never really go over all the shows fully through and through. I just try to hit the important pieces. NXT was fine. It was solid. I'm going to give it a B-. It's about 45 minutes of action on this show, which is good. You can see the little change in there not being for them not to be in direct competition with AEW. And speaking of AEW, the show this week didn't open up with the usual just match. Like, after we have the opening, the intro, we have a match. No, we opened up with a promo with the Young Bucks, a video promo, and then we got our match, which was the tag team title match. The Young Bucks retained against Pac and Phoenix. That match was... All four of these men are just so good at professional wrestling. It's ridiculous, man. It's bananas. I can't even go over all of the things that they did in this match, especially when it comes to Rey Fénix. The guy is a freak of nature. Him and Pac, how are they just so good at pro wrestling? The Bucks cheated the win. I want to say it was Matt that gave Fénix a low blow. He pulled his mask off. Rey had to cover his face. Double super kick. 1, 2, 3. Boy. The Young Bucks are full on heels. They came out with Don Callis. They were wearing all white. And the elites are back together. This time the elite consists of the Young Bucks, the Good Brothers, and Kenny. So no Hangman and no Cody. But mark my words, they're building it up. Hangman Page will be the one to defeat Kenny Omega for the World Championship. Believe that. You heard it here first. Mark it down, okay? Hangman Page will defeat Kenny Omega for the World Championship. Our next match, we had Jade Cargo and Red Velvet. Jade Cargo won. Match went about 7 minutes. You can see the work that these women have put in. And for that, I am extremely happy. These two work well together. The shining moment of the match was when Jade gave Red Velvet a fallaway slam from outside of the ring into the crowd. Jade's a star. Red Velvet's a star. This is what I want to see from the women's division. Okay? Keep it up. Anthony Ogogo had his first ever match in AEW. I was about to say NXT. He squashed some dude. He beat him with a punch to the gut. And I'm totally fine with that. Why? Because Anthony Ogogo is a former Olympic bronze medal boxer. So you figure a punch should win him a match. I like the factory. People are complaining about there being too many factions in AEW. The WWE does not give us factions. And don't you think you would be hanging around with your friends all the time? Yes. Yes. MJF tried to buy off Tyson. Tyson was like, nah, dog, fuck that. Took his check, ate it, spat it back in his face. And Tyson is the special guest enforcer for the Y2J Dax Harwood match. And that was a solid match. Jericho won. There was a lot going on. Obviously, the two teams ended up fighting each other. Tyson knocked out Cash. But after all the shenanigans and heard the match, this was good. This was solid. This feud between the Inner Circle and the Pinnacle, it will end at Blood and Guts May 5th with the Pinnacle definitely winning. Because since the Inner Circle has come back, the Pinnacle have lost everything. And Tyson is now an honorary member of the Inner Circle. Next up, Chris Statlander won her return match. It was a squash, which is fine. And she just looked good. You forget how strong she really is. So that would make Chris, Jade, and Nyla, the three powerhouses when it comes to strength of that women's division. And Chris came out. She was joined with the best friend. She's officially part of the best friends. I'm fine with it. You know me. Chris was my girl before she got hurt. And well, now you know who my girl is now. Anna Jay, holla at your boy. But I'm happy. The division needed Chris because she was slowly climbing the ranks. And I honestly believe, I think Chris was the last person to give Sheeta her one-on-one loss. Don't quote me on that. But I'm almost sure, actually. Christian turned down Taz's offer to join Team Taz. Powerhouse Hobbs didn't like that, so he beat the fuck out of Christian. Sounds simple enough to me. I'm with it. I ain't got no complaints about that. And in our main event, Darby Allin retained the TNT Championship against Matt Hardy in the Falls Count Anywhere match. A shit ton of stuff happened in this match. Sting showed up. Sky showed up. Ethan Page showed up. The Hardy Office. Lance Archer. Dark Order. It was just a lot going on. It didn't hurt the match. They're presenting Darby Allin as a star. Darby Allin is a star. I'm cool with this. This was a fun match. Yeah. AEW this week gets an A. And you can see the... just the change in the show. They don't have to keep throwing everything at the wall now. Because they're not competing with NXT. This was a good show. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I'm giving AEW Dynamite an A. For this week. It was good. It was just good. Over on Smacketh Down. Pat McAfee is now part of the announced team, as it'll be him and Michael Cole calling SmackDown. So book it right now. Within 1 year, Adam Cole will be called up to SmackDown. Book it, lock it in like a champion of champions. This show opened up with a promo with Roman Reigns pretty much saying, what you think was going to happen? I said I was going to beat him. I was going to stack him. I was going to knock him out. And I was going to pin him. Great shit. Just great, great shit all around from Roman Reigns. Cesaro comes out and Roman doesn't acknowledge him at all. Looks at him like, dog, who the fuck do you think you are? And just keeps walking. So Cesaro ain't having that. And if you're going to give me Cesaro versus Roman, inject that into my veins. Give me all of that good juice. All right? Give me all of that. Rey Mysterio beat Otis in a nice little match, whatever. He won with a surprise crucifix using Otis's momentum to win the match. So, yeah, we had a WrestleMania rematch with KO and Sammy, and KO won by countout. KO wasn't feeling that, so he gave Sammy a stunner, because Sammy was like, look, dog, man, he's still doing his paranoia shit, and he was to see that Logan Paul was, whatever, I don't care. Sammy's great, KO was great. I hope this leads to them becoming a tag team and winning gold. The Street Profits and Bianca celebrated her WrestleMania victory, which was great. There's nothing bad to say about this segment. But then the Street Profits then lost their tag team title match against Ziggler and Rude. So can't win them all. Natalya rose up Shayna Baszler in less than 3 minutes, and these women need more time. We just had these people face each other like a week ago. The only thing I hated about this week in wrestling, there were so many rematches from WrestleMania in a week before. Like, what the fuck? And in our main event, Cesaro beat Jey Uso by DQ because Seth interfered. I'm like, WrestleMania is supposed to be the end of feuds. Why are we still doing this? Is only because we got backlash coming up. SmackDown gets a C this week. Just it's and that's not a bad C. SmackDown was still a good show. There's too much talking, but that's expected when you're trying to recap Mania. As for our matches of the week, three matches from WrestleMania stand out. The SmackDown Women's Championship, Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair, Seth Rollins versus Cesaro, and the Universal Championship Triple Threat match, Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan versus Edge. From NXT, the NXT Cruiserweight Championship match, Santos Escobar versus Kushida, and Leon Ruff versus Isaiah Swerve Scott, and over on AEW, the tag team title match with the Young Bucks defending against Rey Fénix and Pac, and the TNT Championship match, No Holds Barred, Darby Allin versus Matt Hardy. These are all matches you should check out. All really, really, really good matches. Four, three and a half. So there you go. In that order, those are the ratings. But that is our week in review, and we will be right back. All right, folks, what's up? Let's just dive right into our top story. This past weekend, we had WrestleMania 37. And it was a solid show. But every now and then, we get manias where we don't leave happy, where we know that the main event shouldn't have been the main event. There have been occasions where there are better matches on the card that don't have like a lot of story like the main event. And you can say, well, you should always put the best match on. No, you put the best story on as the main event. But I can look back at 7 occasions where WrestleMania didn't have a good main event, and there was a match on the card with equal story that should have been the main event. Now, mind you, the WWE used to have this thing where a world championship match always has to end the show. And that's not true. Just go and look at NXT. NXT doesn't put on a world title match as the main event a lot of the times at this point. They put on the match with the most story. It's facts. So today we're going to look at some WrestleManias where the main event was not good, or why it shouldn't have been the main event. And we're only going to go back to, we're at 37, so we're going to go back to half. We're not going to go back to the beginning. Let's start with WrestleMania 18. What was this WrestleMania? WrestleMania 18 took place in Toronto, Canada, at the Sky Dome, March 17th, 2002. So this was 19 years ago. Immediately. Okay. This is the last Mania before the brand extension, where the rosters were going to be split into Raw and SmackDown. It was also the last WrestleMania to be under the WWF name before they renamed to what we now know as the WWE. Let's take a look at the card. All right. On the pre-show, Rikishi, Sky Tsuhati, and Albert defeated Mr. Perfect, Lance Storm and Tess. Jacqueline was the special guest referee. I don't even remember why that match happened. Our opening match was RVD defeating William Regal to win the IC title. DDP retained against Christian in the European Championship match. Funny thing is, I don't remember a lot of this card. I remember specific things. Maven Harker Championship shenanigans. There's a lot going on in that card. Kurt Angle beat Kane. Taker beat Ric Flair in a no DQ match. I remember that. Edge beat Booker T. That was the storyline about something about a hair shampoo commercial. Stone Cold beat Scott Hall. Billy and Chuck won a Four Corners Elimination match to retain their tag team championships, defeating the APA, the Dudleys, and Matt and the Hardy Boys. The Rock beat Hulk Hogan. Jazz retained against Trish and Lita. Triple H beat Jericho to win the Undisputed Championship. The main event of that show was Triple H and Chris Jericho. But as we all know, what the other match on that card was, the important match. Triple H and Jericho wasn't necessarily a bad match, but it wasn't a great match either. You feel me? The storyline, first of all, the storyline made no sense as Stephanie was managing Chris Jericho. Anyway, we know what should have been the main event. And even though it wasn't a great match per se, The Rock versus Hulk Hogan should have been the main event. We all know this. Now, mind you, if you watch that match and just turn the volume off, it's not a good match when it comes to wrestling. But sometimes the crowd makes the match. And when I tell you the crowd made the match for Rock and Hogan, boy, I just, the stare down between these two, the icon versus icon tagline. Because when this match was done, Jazz, Trish, and Lita, nobody cared. And Triple H, Jericho, nobody cared. The crowd was exhausted. They were done. They were finished. Rock Jericho should have main evented that. And if they main event that, I'm sorry, Rock Hogan. And if they main event that card, the show is remembered a lot better. WrestleMania 21. WrestleMania goes Hollywood. Now, I remember this Mania because of all the promos they did. They were paying homage to classic movies. We have Forrest Gump, Braveheart, Basic Instinct, Pulp Fiction, A Few Good Men, Dirty Harry, When Harry Met Sally, Taxi Driver, and Gladiator. It's good stuff. Good stuff. WrestleMania 21 took place on April 3rd, 2005 in LA at the Staples Center. Let's run down the card real quick. Shall we? Let's run down the card. Pre-show, Booker T won a battle royal. Main card, Ray beat Eddie. We had our first ever Money in the Bank ladder match. Edge won, defeating Benoit, Jericho, Christian, Kane, and Shawn Benjamin. Taker beat Orton. Trish beat Christy Hemme. With Lita. Why was Lita managing Christy Hemme? Whatever. Kurt beat Shawn Michaels. Aki Bono beat The Big Show. John Cena beat JBL. And Batista beat Triple H. Now, this was the kind of the coronation mania for Cena and Batista, right? They were pretty much coming here as the two stars of the company. But see, here's the thing. I totally get it. And from what I remember, this was a good mania. This was a solid mania. But see, here's the thing. Kurt Angle versus Shawn Michaels. Taker and Orton. Both of those matches, honestly, should have main evented. And I'm going to go with Kurt versus HBK, because this is two of the best wrestlers at that time, just saying, we want to know who's the best. Period. Take Orton was on his whole legend killer kick. I remember him countering the choke slam into an RKO. I remember him hitting Taker with a tombstone. And Kurt Schoen was just a thing of beauty. I remember leaving that show thinking, damn. Like, I was happy Cena won, I was happy Batista won, but Taker, Orton, and more importantly, HBK, Kurt stole the show. HBK is Mr. WrestleMania. Taker is Mr. WrestleMania. Not going by the nickname, but still. I'm just saying. You need to leave a show saying that was a good show. And it was a good show, but I remember saying, well, HBK, Kurt, there's your real main event. WrestleMania 24. March 30th, 2008, Orlando, Florida. This Mania, like, I can't really think of the shows by just the older shows by the number in the match. Like, WrestleMania 20, so we're on 24. I don't remember. Let's run down the card. Pre-show, Kane won a battle royal to become the number one contender for the ECW championship. JBL beat Finley in a Belfast brawl. CM Punk won the Money in the Bank ladder match. Other people in that match were Carlito, Jericho, John Morrison, Kennedy, MVP, and Shelton. Batista beat Umaga. Kane won the ECW championship, defeating Chavo Guerrero. Shawn Michaels beat Ric Flair. Beth Phoenix and Melina defeated Ashley and Maria. Randy Orton beat John Cena and Triple H to retain the WWE Championship. Floyd Money Mayweather beat The Big Show in a no DQ match. And Taker defeated Edge. Now, here's the thing about this Mania. It's a good show, actually. With the exception of, like, the women's match. They got 5 fucking minutes. But when it comes to the main event, Taker Edge, I believe Taker had won the Royal Rumble that year. I'm almost positive Taker won the Royal Rumble, which is how he ended up facing Edge at Mania. Let me make sure. No, Cena won the Royal Rumble that year. Huh. Michael Taker was eliminated by Michaels. So, ladies and gentlemen. So. Taker, Edge wasn't a bad match. No. It wasn't. It was actually a really good match. It's just that, I'm sorry, I love you, HBK Ric Flair was the better match, and it had a better story. Ric Flair was on this, whenever I lose my last match, I'm going to retire. Although I was happy to see Taker win, even though I wanted Edge to retain. We don't remember Taker Edge. We don't remember Randy versus Triple H and Cena. We remember Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair. And that match was everything. That match, it got a stamp. I can't remember the last time a match got a true standing ovation. That match was so good. Oh my God, that match was so good. It completely overshadowed everything else that happened on that card. And there was nothing anyone could do about that. You don't always have to end WrestleMania with a happy ending, as in the faces walking away. There's been a few times where the heel has walked away. This past WrestleMania, Roman Reigns walked away the winner. But Michaels Flair, buddy, beautiful. And then the very next year, it happened again. WrestleMania 25, Houston, Texas, Reliant Stadium, April 5th, 2009. Let's just go down the card, okay? Carlito and Primo. Won a unification tag team championship match against Miz and Morrison. That was the pre-show. On the main show, CM Punk won the Money in the Bank, first person to go back-to-back, defeating Christian, Finley, Kane, Kofi, Mark Henry, MVP, and Shelton Benjamin. Shelton Benjamin in a lot of these matches and haven't won them. Same thing with Kofi. Santino won the Miss WrestleMania Battle Royal. Jericho, now I remember this match, defeated Snuka, Ricky Steamboat, and Roddy Piper in the Elimination Handicap match. Matt Hardy defeated Jeff Hardy in the Extreme Rules match. I remember that. Ray defeated Bradshaw for the Aussie title in 20 seconds. Taker defeated Shawn Michaels. Cena defeated Big Show and Edge to win the World Heavyweight Championship. And Triple H defeated Randy Orton for the WWE Championship. Retained. We all remember this match, this Mania, because Triple H versus Randy Orton absolutely sucked. That match was built off of blood, and these dudes should have been killing each other. This match shouldn't have gone 25 minutes. It was a horrible, horrible ending to the show. Taker Michaels, on the other hand, match of the year candidate. People walked away out of that Mania saying, that's it, that's it. But we all remember, we all remember Taker Michaels. And this was Taker Michaels 1. Because the very next year, WrestleMania 26, when we did Taker Michaels 2, guess who main evented the show? Taker Michaels. And this wasn't one of the better Manias, but again, Taker Michaels, and HBK was playing up his, you know, his godly gimmick, wearing all white. If Taker Michaels had went on as the main event, it may have saved the show. Those are just the facts. Okay? There's not much more to say. There really isn't. So I hated that meeting because that main event was so bad. That main event was so bad. WrestleMania 27, Atlanta, Georgia, April 3rd, 2011. The Georgia Dome. Let's run down that card real quick, shall we? Pre-show, Sheamus beat Daniel Bryan, retaining the United States Championship. The Great Khali won the Battle Royal. Main card, Edge defeated Del Rio to retain the world title. This is the first time I believe we had a world championship match open a show. Got to set the precedent. Cody Rhodes defeat Rey Mysterio. I don't remember this happening. Big Show, Kane, Kofi, and Santino defeated the Core. I don't remember this happening. Randy Orton beat CM Punk. Don't remember that happening. Michael Cole beat Jerry Lawler. I remember that. Taker beat Triple H. No holds barred. John Morrison, Snooki, and Trish defeated Ziggler and Lee Cool. And in the main event, The Miz retained his WWE Championship against John Cena. Now, I was extremely happy that The Miz won and left WrestleMania as champion. It's just that The Rock was the host, so The Rock had to end the show. And he restarted the match so Miz can retain the championship. But see, here's the thing. The previous year, WrestleMania 26, the main event was Taker Michaels 2. Did we not learn our lesson? Because Triple H and Taker in the No Holds Barred match, as much as I'm not the biggest Triple H fan, that should have main evented. Like, we know this. Oh, the only reason it's not the main event is because of The Rock, and that's not hating on The Rock. Taker, Hunter, should have main evented, but we had to end the show with The Rock. That's okay. And there's really nothing they could really do about it. Okay? Because the following year, WrestleMania 28, we got Rock Cena. And then 29, we got Rock Cena. So for a while, right, we're getting good shows. 30, that main event was Daniel Bryan winning. 31 was Seth cashing in. We remember that. Then we get to WrestleMania 32. WrestleMania 32. AT&T Stadium, Arlington, Texas, April 3rd, 2016. Triple H. Roman Reigns. Let's run down the card, okay? On our pre-show, because there's always a pre-show, we had 4 pre-show matches. Kalisto defeated Ryback to Kalisto's not even in company anymore, to retain the U.S. Championship. Man, that is Ryback. Team Total Divas, Alicia Fox, Brie Bella, Eva Marie, Natalya, and Paige defeated Team Bad and Blonde, Emma, Lana, Naomi, Summer Rae, and Tamina. Now, I'm looking at the Team Total Divas, Alicia Fox, Natalya Paige, and Team Bad and Blonde, Emma, Naomi. Okay. The Usos defeated the Dudleys. Main show, Zack Ryder won the Aussie Championship in a ladder match, defeating KO, Dolph Ziggler, Miz, Sami Zayn, Sin Cara, and Stardust. Jericho defeated AJ Styles. The League of Nations, Dario, Rusev, and Sheamus defeated The New Day. Brock defeated Dean Ambrose. That match was trash. Charlotte defeated Becky and Sasha to be crowned the first ever Inaugural Women's Champion. This was after the Divas title was gone. Taker defeated Shane. Corbin won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. The Rock beat Eric Rowan, and Roman Reigns defeated Triple H. This is hard. Because in all honesty, the Roman Reigns and Triple H should have main evented, but the main event sucked. It got negative and angry crowd reactions. Now this is a stark contrast to how we see Roman Reigns right now. Like we knew how it was going to end, but it still doesn't help. I mean, get this. The Wrestling Observer gave WrestleMania 32 the worst wrestling show of the year. Let that sink in. And here's the thing. There are good matches. The ladder match was good. Jericho Styles was good. And the Triple Threat match was good. And even Shane Taker. But seriously, I don't know how I would have probably made the women the main event. I would have made the women the main event. This is a first time for everything. And see, the thing is, Triple H likes to have these long-winded matches. He's got to go 25 minutes if he's on Mania. And the worst thing about this Mania was, not only was it not good, TakeOver Dallas, that happened two nights before, was just better. There was the debut of Shinsuke when him and Sammy just had a fucking banger of a match. Like, bro. And see, this is going to get into next week's show when I tell you how. I'll get to that. But I would have just made the women the main event and been about it. It's that simple. And lastly, our last show, we have 36, last year's Mania, let me make sure, Pandemic Mania. First time we got two nights, and I love the two nights. So night one, right, the card was Cesaro versus Drew. Main card, Alexa and Nikki defeated Asuka and Kairi to win the tag team titles. Hated that result. Elias beat King Corbin. Becky beat Shayna. Sammy beat Daniel Bryan. Morrison defeated Jimmy and Kofi to retain the tag team titles. KO beat Seth. Braun beat Goldberg. And Taker beat AJ in the Boneyard match, aka the Buried Alive match. It's the first time we were getting our cinematic matches. Fine. That's not what I'm complaining about. It's night two. Liv beat Natalya pre-show. Charlotte beat Rhea. Hated that result. We all hated that fucking result. Aleister Black beat Bobby Lashley. Otis beat Ziggler. Edge beat Orton. Last Man Standing. And the Street Profits defeated Angel Garza and Austin Theory to retain their tag team titles. Bayley defeated Lacey, Naomi, Sasha, and Tamina to retain her women's championship. The Fiend defeated Bray Wyatt in the Firefly Funhouse match. And Drew McIntyre defeated Brock Lesnar to win the WWE championship. I am fine with Drew getting his moment, but let's be honest. If you're going to end night one with a cinematic match, you need to end night two with a cinematic match. And the Firefly Funhouse match should have been the main event. It should have ended the show. The weirdness, the craziness, the breaking the fourth wall, the storylines, the meta-ness of it all. You have to learn from the past. You have to learn from the past. And the Firefly Funhouse match in its glory should have been the main event.
period.
That's okay. At least Bray Wyatt finally got his win at WrestleMania. But then, of course, he loses this year. So, fuck me, right? And fuck him. That's our show. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know I can't do this without you all. This was fun. It's taking me back. Because as I was doing the research, right, I'm looking at all these past manias. I'm like, damn. Okay, like, I don't remember that, but then when I look at the card, I go, oh shit, yeah, I remember that. Okay, that was fire. That was trash. They were really doing that? So this was good. You can catch me on Instagram at charismatic_creations52. The YouTube channel is up, Charismatic Creations Studios, I think. Link will be in the description. Next week's show, we're going to be looking at why NXT TakeOver at this point are now better than Manias. Because they are. And as always, to my girl, Anna Jay, holla at your boy. Peace.